And welcome to Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew.
On FBI Radio 94.5 FM. Hello and welcome. We've got Jordan Shanks in the studio.
Was that 10 seconds of dead air?
Tom Montefiore.
Hello. How's
and
it
hello,
going?
I'm Robbie Armfield, and look forward to some great chat and primo tunes today.
Just quickly, I've never seen a look of such disgust on Jordan's face in my whole life at that. Like, it's something I think that just really, like, digs deep at him or something, like, the thought of dead air. And, like, and he was looking at you, saying, like, hold on one sec, at that, like, complete silence, and Jordan's face was so upset.
I don't think
repugnance and shock
it wasn't
is
anger.
A horrible feeling to feel.
Yeah, he wasn't angry at you. He was just, like, so sad.
There was music playing. It was, like, a little bit of an ambient outro there. There was, like, sort of the sound of ocean waves.
Yeah. No, I know. It was quite nice.
So,
okay.
Also, thanks to Greta Balog for the last show there and that lovely
Mornings
track.
Mornings with Greta.
Who didn't listen to that is specifically, we just saw her walk past talking on her phone.
But yeah, that's for you, Greta.
Yeah. We know you listen.
So, big show today. We're going to start off with playing Who Am I? Which is impressions-based segment.
So, we've had a big week. 2016, big year, okay? It's the year of impression-based segments. Bigging that up. We do Radio of the Mind here on Tom Whitey Dude and the Crocodile Crew. And basically, I'm awesome at impressions. So, what I do is I'll do an impression occasionally, and we'll have a little game, a little text in with the audience if you can work out who it is I'm doing.
And by occasionally, he means sometimes three or four times in the same hour.
And it's always very difficult, this game. Because it seems as though it's like getting them to guess. You think you're very good at it, so everyone should just know it straight away.
Well, yeah, that's what I think. So, but this one is related to our travels recently to the Gold Coast. Where
it's a little clue.
It is a little clue. Maybe related to theme parks or something like this. So I'll do it now. And then the fun bit about this one is there's a prize. Okay, usually we do Who Am I? There's just, you know, we have a winner. We just announce them. But this time we'll announce
it's own prize.
Yeah, exactly.
Usually.
But this time we've got another prize.
But this time we've got a real prize, yeah.
A real prize. My gran is in town from Auckland, New Zealand, and she makes the absolute best chocolate slice I've ever had in my life. And I would love for...
But I know that you've only had your grandma's and maybe one of those Vietnamese bakeries that's called hot bread, and it's always a dirty sign.
How many slices have you had?
You'd be wrong. I've had many. I'd call myself a connoisseur.
So many you can't remember any, right? Like, it's just a cram overload of events in your life.
A connoisseur of the slice is me. Yeah.
And self-proclaimed as of right now.
And what you'll find...
Never heard that or seen him eat a slice.
And the person that wins this is going to work out that my grand's is, in fact, the best slice. And she is more than happy to bake some for one lucky winner. So, if you would like to text in, numbers 0409945, who is this?
Shaggy.
Shut up. Who could it be?
Shut up. So if you think you know who that is, the number's 0409-945-945. Text in the correct answer. And if there are a few that are correct, because I know I'm quite good at them, then I'll just choose at random. Or if you have the funniest name at the end of your text, I will choose that one.
Will someone also get one of your grandma's famous slices for guessing the most absurdly incorrect answer to that? Because, I mean, not because your impression was good, but how many people can that be?
I don't know. I couldn't get it. It was a...
Stump Tom.
And also, probably answer if you're in Sydney, because next week I'll have my gran come in and she can bestow it to you on air.
Personally. So, every single person, actually, I think, who texts in will get some slice. So, it's going to be a big cooking job, I think.
Look at all these know-it-alls on the text board.
I know who it is.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, you're not special. Like, really. We're looking at 100 texts at the moment.
But basically, so that impression was related to one of the theme parks we went to in Gold Coast. And Tom here actually sort of came up as well.
Oh, yeah. So I flew up with my mate, Northy, who is...
An albino.
Oh, well, you know, he's a lovely guy.
Very pale man.
Yeah.
He's very nice.
Sheet white.
He works in insurance. He's a great dude. He's been our friend from school for a long time, and he's probably one of the funniest dudes I know. And
definitely.
But he has this thing, which has been a constant thing that's happened over the last few years, where there'll be certain things that he's just never heard of that you just assume he has just... There's no way he couldn't have heard of them. So, one example is asbestos. When it was brought up in conversation once, he just had no idea what it was. And
or Rambo just a real killjoy at a pub trivia night.
Well, it's more like just amazement of just, how have you never heard of the Loch Ness Monster? Or like, how have you never heard of Rambo? Or something like that. And he did probably the best one we've ever heard, so I thought it was worth telling. Which, he goes, we're on the plane, sitting there flying, and he goes, all right, Tom, how do you say this word? P-E-N-E-L-O-P-E. Spell it. What is that?
I wasn't really paying attention, but I'm guessing it was Penelope.
Penelope, yeah. He goes, Penelope. He's like, it's Penelope. He's like, I've got a colleague at work that I've been working with her for about a year. And I've been calling her Penelope for a year. So, like,
that's so poor.
So, like, for instance, in meetings, he'll say, all right, like, these are all great learnings today, but, so, Penelope, like, can you tell us what you've, you know, can you quickly summarise what you're going to do? And everyone will go, what? What? Who's Penelope? Like, and they don't, like, it's been this long-lasting thing. Like, he's left voicemails for her saying, hey, Penelope, like, you know, couldn't get onto you, you know, bring this document in tomorrow for work or whatever it is.
And the environment's too corporate to correct.
Well, eventually.
Nobody can be wrong in that kind of environment,
yeah, it's
can
taken
they?
Months, and finally they're like, we need to say something. Her name's Penelope.
How does that take... Think about how long it must take in a corporate environment to instill change into the culture that they can't even correct Penelope.
It's just
that's an impossibility to them. They have to gather their resources together and plan this out for months.
Well, it would be quite a thing, I think, if you were. It would be so embarrassing to go for that long without realizing. But yeah, it just seems as though it almost does phonetically make sense to be Penelope. But yeah, Penelope. I don't know. Yeah.
But if I said like Robbie,
yeah,
instead of Robbie,
yeah,
in 0.2 seconds, probably because of the courage from his outrageous shirt, he'd correct me instantaneously, right?
Yeah. Sure. I don't know why he was never corrected.
Well, does he know the Harry Potter series?
North.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah, he must.
Well, because surely he must know the three main characters are Harry, Ron, and Hermione, right? No. Hermione.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Hermione.
Yeah, true, true.
But so, everybody didn't. Okay. You did think that at a point, though, didn't you, Robbie?
Hermione.
Yeah.
Certainly not.
You didn't.
No way.
Oh, no way.
What, you think I thought her name was Hermione.
You think I'm an idiot?
I'm not saying that, Robbie. I'm just saying it was a general misunderstanding. Yeah, right.
But that is a funny
surely
one.
Surely, guys, text you. Like, everybody thought it was Hermione.
Mm.
And I was always of the opinion that it was Hermione, but I was completely on...
Hermione.
Yeah, I was a lone crusader on this.
Like Panini.
And we all died.
But yeah, it feels like one of those things where you can't even Google it to find the correct pronunciation because no one has ever even, like, set that question. And you know how when it's question worthy...
Because
like,
it's too dumb to even ask Google, and you can even ask Google, what's the EU after voting in Brexit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That you is beyond that level of stupid.
Yeah, like Hermione, you could understand it being like, how do you actually pronounce that word? But like Penelope, it feels like no one has ever actually asked that.
But, that's incredible, because you can even look for the pronunciation of the word and on... You know, Melvin speaks on YouTube or something like that.
Yeah.
Everybody's just assumed that Penelope is not even in the realm of and.
I'm sure it's there somewhere, but yeah.
Did you look or are you just guessing?
I actually did look and it is there and it is Penelope. I was just checking in case like there is some like strange off pronunciation of that. But like, there's just no way.
My son's also called Penelope.
I'd be interested to know also if anybody's experienced a similar situation that he did with that signing. So,
yeah, have you ever had a mispronunciation that has lasted for years? You know, a long period of time.
The document.
Oh, the document. Yeah, oh, okay, yeah. So, also, the other thing that happened to our friend North.
Oh, well, let's not discount that question, though. That's a great question.
Oh, sure, sure.
I think, that would be worth... Yeah, so texting in 049-945-945. But, yeah, the other one that he did... So, it was kind of a bit debated about whether or not he did the right thing. But he was at home, Just minding his own business.
Sorry, I don't think this is debated. I think he definitely did the wrong thing.
Well, it was kind of brought up as like, should I have done that? But yeah, it's definitely wrong. But yeah, so he's at home. There's a knock at the door. He goes to the door and there's a stranger standing in his doorstep who takes a step into his house, right? So he's in his house and he goes like, hey, mate, like, are you able to witness this document for me? And he's standing there. He's like, I guess I could witness the document for you. And
why does he just... Was he just assuming that the first guy that he knocked on the house, because they're so common, is a justice of the peace?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, who is this person? What's the document? And then his sister walks down the stairs and says, Andrew, like, what are you doing? Like, do you know this person? And instead
was
of...
Was she screaming?
No, just a bit concerned. Like, who is this stranger and why are you signing a document that he's given you? Yeah. And instead of saying, like, yeah, you're right, I've never actually met him. Or, yeah, I've never met him, I'm signing a document for him. He lies to his sister and says, yeah, I know him. And, like, and the guy's like, yeah, he knows me.
And why? Like, how does it benefit Northern?
Yeah, and then he signs the document and leaves. And then he's like, I shouldn't have done that. His mum's furious with him. And he then gets a bottle of wine, arrives on his doorstep a few days later with a note saying, thank you so much for signing the document. Cheerio, like, your neighbour, or whatever it is. And then, and now he's like, what have I signed?
But yeah, to give somebody a gift in response to that, you know that he must have had to profit big out of it to get it.
Yeah, just referring to it as the document. And he didn't even read the document, North. I was like, why didn't you just read it? It would take like 5 seconds to read. It wouldn't be strange to say, what is this? What's it about?
Of course.
It's just, yeah,
he
just
does it.
Just another day in the misadventures of Northy. Yeah.
And he's since received a bottle of wine at his doorstep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, did you say that?
Yeah. Oh, you got to stop looking at the text board, Robbie.
Pay attention. All right.
Either look at the text board or don't talk into the mic. You can't do both.
We've got here a couple of texts relating to the names, which I think are pertinent. One says, my French teacher called me Abby, which stuck for a while. Not sure what your real name is, so if you want to maybe put that in there. Like, we have no
that's also helpful.
Why that's bad.
Yeah, Abby's all right, isn't it?
Abby seems like a normal name. I don't know what that's about.
Why are you offended by that?
It, though? Maybe we're mispronouncing
it. Maybe it was an abalone that wrote in and said that and been like, Abby, I'm not a person. I'm an abalone.
A-B-B-E-Y was that one. We've got another one here that I think we'll finish on before a song that says, if meme is meme... why isn't Pepe Peep?
Yes.
And that's from Peep the Rare Frog meme. And do you know what? I think you're exactly right. Now, here's a song. We're going to talk about that after the break. Text in if you'd like. The number's 0409-945-945. This is the new one by Angel Olsen. It's called Shut Up and Kiss Me on FBI Radio.
Good for you for looking out for your own interests, Pepe.
Hello there. That was the song Shut Up, Kiss Me by Angel Olsen. From her upcoming record. We've got a bunch of... you're with Tom Montedude and the Crocodile Crew on FBI Radio 94.5 FM. We've got a bunch of texts here relating to pronunciation of various names.
No, it's pronunciation.
Guess again, Tom. Because we've not only has the board lit on fire with people just saying how wrong you are about that, but we've also got an official one from The Office here that we never get.
The first time.
Yeah.
We've said outrageous things on this radio show before. Like, things that are just not politically correct in the slightest. We have never been talked out of it. The only things they had an issue with is us repeatedly playing Tame Impala purely to annoy them, so they finally caught wise to that. We're like, all right, you got us. Just shut up about that.
Yeah, but this takes the cake.
Why? They get annoyed at this.
Well, it's like, I just don't think it's true. I think it's mispronounced. But I know, I don't know
if you could disagree with that many texts, though, Tom. Nobody defended you with
it's
that.
It's like if I'm making an announcement, it's like I mispronounced. But yeah, I don't know.
I think
except for, yeah, they're two different words.
All right, this is so unfair because you both were like, oh, I didn't know that. I've been saying mispronunciation my whole life.
Oh, but it's staunch stubbornness on, as soon as you get on air.
Look, I don't care.
Arms folded.
I don't care.
Crossed in the corner.
Leave it out. I don't care.
Well, maybe you should just fix it.
No, I'm not changing that. Okay, so Jordan, the election. What? It happened the other day. It took 5 days. Yeah. More.
But no,
7 days.
Yeah. Truly arduous. Much like Tom's
fight against the English dictionary on the pronunciation of pronounce. Yes, so it was as epic as that, some might say. There was, obviously everybody's been here, so we all know it's looking like it could possibly be a hung parliament or a slim majority to the coalition. And obviously my entire subscriber base is up in arms about this, saying, I can't believe we lost. I don't count that as a loss, guys.
Wait, so is it settled yet or not?
No.
It's one of those things of, yeah. You know, not yes, just yeah.
When do they say it's settled?
Well, both Bill Shorten and Malcolm Turnbull... So, Bill Shorten conceded and Malcolm Turnbull said, we won, looking all gracious after his complete and utter meltdown on July 2nd when he came. He wasn't... This is amazing. Three incredible points of Malcolm Turnbull's quote-unquote victory speech that night. He wasn't there. As usual, he's sitting in his house. What is it with people from the eastern suburbs and being obsessed with their house? They never leave it. I'm the same as well. I just never, ever leave my house.
Mm.
I'm like one of those reptiles in the zoo that, like, every other animal that's enclosed, you always think, oh, that's a bit unfair. I mean, 50 chimps for half an acre. How could they be having that much fun? But every time you look at a snake, all you're thinking is that song, Hate the Time of My Life.
Yeah, well, they're just like their rock, you know? That's all they like.
That's pretty much it. That's Malcolm Turnbull.
Hmm.
So he is escorted to the Liberal Party convention. To my absolute delight, this, for lack of a better word, total knob, Mark DeStefano, who I completely hate, who is this BuzzFeed journalist who I've had, like, this ongoing beef with that nobody cares about except for both of us.
Yeah, let it go, man.
Okay, this is... Yeah. Jordan does not necessarily reflect the opinions of anybody in this room or if they're radio.
I just coincidentally do. Off air, like, these guys agree with me.
No, they don't. All right, so go on about the election. Let's keep it...
But this is election-related. This is election-related.
Your beef with a BuzzFeed reporter.
I can make it work. I can tie this in.
All right.
He was walking. Mark DeStefano is one of those... He's a classic gotcha journalist. He should be working at A Current Affair, but it is fitting that he's working at this generation's version of A Current Affair BuzzFeed. Sorry, anyway, I'll get back to the election. He's working
out I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
I might have to turn your mic off. I might have to.
Give me one more chance. So he's walking with this trash Stefano next to him, right? Being like, can I go?
Honestly, last chance, okay? If you
can I get an interview with you, Malcolm Turnbull? Malcolm Turnbull pushes that annoying little gnat to the side. It goes
and
viral.
That's it. You've been done, my friend. No, okay.
I was talking about the election.
Okay.
So just. As in, you were just talking about it, not so just as in that was so justified to talk about Mark Stefano. So
he gets up and he has this absolute... Laurie Oakes, the quote the next day is, Laurie Oakes finds Malcolm Turnbull's acceptance speech outrageous.
Oh, really?
The first time in 50 years.
Yeah.
He thought it was the worst speech he's ever heard, and it truly was.
Yeah.
And it was the breakdown of a narcissist on national television, somebody who realised that the Australian public doesn't love him as much as what he assumed in his head. You could see it, and it was a lot like Adolf Hitler yelling at that Bobo Bear in that Simpsons episode going, this is all your fault!
Yeah.
He's just yelling at everyone in the room, basically saying, you didn't work hard enough, and it was Labour's fault that we lost. Yeah, it was. They're opposing you. This is not a revelation,
it's
Malcolm.
It's crazy how that's unanimously agreed upon. Like, even liberal friends of mine who voted for Malcolm Turnbull agreed that that speech was very off. They're just like, yeah, it's very weird. So yeah,
and yet he gets the character votes, that one.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So the second point is that throughout all of this election, everybody's been saying to me, Liberal supporters and Labour supporters. Labour supporters really down. Liberal supporters, I suppose, attacking me, even though the general consensus is the Liberals suffered a severe loss. I mean, to go from 90 seats to a possible 76, barely holding on to government,
yeah,
is pretty bad, especially when you have $3 to $1 to Labour to spend. They always outspend Labour by a mile. They always have, like, far superior marketing. They always have, you know, huge media in favour of them. And
against that, pretty much all Labor has is a bunch of people knocking on doors being like, did you know that they're trying to privatise Medicare?
Yeah, so it's very damaging for the coalition.
Yeah, extremely damaging.
So what's that mean?
And basically what happens now is this is what's great about this, right? It's not the ideal. The ideal, obviously, is to get them out of government entirely. But he is a lame duck prime minister for the next 3 years. He can't do anything. I mean, he was complaining about a hostile Senate last election. This one, he's got 15 independents against him, four of which I think we're all excited about. Pauline and the gang have rocked up from Bundaberg and into Canberra.
It's a TV show, yeah.
So excited about this. Lambie, this parliament's got it all.
Yeah, wow.
The most colourful characters of the last 20 years. Also, just as a quick side note, I was talking afterwards about this to this ex-journalist that I know who used to work for 60 Minutes. What a piece of history this is. He got Pauline Hanson to say, please explain.
Oh, really?
Yes. I don't know if you know this, Robbie, but that's one of the most famous lines in Australian history. It would be, well, may we save God save the Queen, followed by Pauline Hanson being asked, are you a xenophobic? And then her going, please explain. She didn't know what it meant. And they bet on that before the interview. They were like, I bet she doesn't know what a xenophobic is.
But, Jordan, even though it is a minority government and it's not as bad as it could have been, do you still think it's a little bit scary?
Are we going into another segment now?
Kind of. So
very clunky.
So Robbie is very interested in this blind future. What is she?
Let me explain. Why don't you say, please explain?
Please explain.
Okay, well, I will, Tom. What we've got here is an old woman that died 20 years ago. She was blind, but she was also a prophet that predicted various things like Barack Obama will be the
prophets
last...
Prophets usually have something wrong with their eyes, don't they? Yeah. And they always have some kind of glib line like,
there's more than one way to see.
Yeah, they have the sight. Yeah.
Well, what she predicted was, she said, Barack Obama will be the last president of the United States of America. Europe will cease to exist. Muslims will invade Europe. China will become the new superpower. She predicted the tsunami of 2004.
She claims.
She predicted global warming, the rise of ISIS, the fall of the Twin Towers.
She claims provisos to that, do you, Tom?
She died a while ago. She didn't... Like, she kind of very... loosely predicted.
Look, anyway, she predicted stuff.
Is she just like the Daily Mirror's version of Nostradamus?
Exactly. And she was this like clickbait thing that was really popular at the start of the year because she said that a black president will be the last president. And everyone's like, oh my God.
Don't you think it could
happen?
We've
got one now.
Don't you think, like, I mean, that's all scary, right? So now, yeah. don't you think that could all happen? Like, the world seems to be going to the absolute garbage. It seems to be going to the tip of the world.
Yeah.
I reckon she might be onto something.
So, yeah, it's Pauline.
Has there ever
being
been a period? Apart from maybe just before the Great Depression, it seems like every other period apart from there where they're just like, it's just going to be up and up from here, she?
Yeah.
Every other part, everybody's always been like, the world's just going to the toilet, isn't it?
Yeah, when is the world not in the toilet?
Yeah, when was the world not in the toilet? When was anybody like positive about this?
Well, I can tell you. Now it is. It definitely is now.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Cue the raising of...
Clubs to Death. The
Club Matrix to Death and Matrix. Matrix.
Yeah. Can we... I mean, does anybody agree with this lady? Do you guys agree with her? I think she might be onto something.
I just completely don't. It's like the thing about... All right, I won't
really don't know enough. There was just a list of things she might have predicted, followed by Tom saying, no, she didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not a very cogent debate.
All right, our friend Jake is in Europe at the moment, right?
Yeah.
She said Europe will fall in 2016.
Oh, no, Jake. Ring if he's all right.
Hey, I'm scared for him. I'm honestly scared for him. He sends me Snapchats all the time. He's in Venice. He's in Paris.
Yeah. Is he having a good time?
He's having a great time. But
Brexit.
Things
are always just like much like when they're just like at the absolute darkest before they start to get light. It works the other way around as well.
Yeah, that's it.
Calm before the storm.
Not a good point to raise the song of that, but okay. I do appreciate the sentiment, Robbie.
Right. Okay. Well, we've got a lot. I mean, is that your election stuff over? Is that
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. Okay. All I'm saying is that, guys, like, it was because of you. It was because of you guys convincing your dropkick stoner friends to go out and vote and not just go like, oh, marijuana party, that we actually... Look, Labor has become like the Republicans of the US now. They could just sit there and just block everything. It's great.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like, it's like Nigel Farage's argument of it's better to have no deal than a rotten deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, he's great though, isn't he? He's
Yeah. I really wish that he was. You know, like two things that I wish in the world: Tony Abbott was leader of the Liberal Party, Nigel Farage was president of the world. United States. Yeah, president of the world. Whatever. They're both good titles.
We've got a text here. The number's 0409-945-945. Somebody says, did she predict I'd get some slice today? I want my slice, Tom. Hey, you know what? She might have. And actually, if you
did you predict that it was?
If you've guessed correctly,
has anyone guessed correctly?
I'll read out a couple that people have sent in. So,
also, Robbie, just quickly while I remember this, as you are the master of impression, self-proclaimed.
Yes.
Can you please give us your best Pauline Hanson impression?
Okay. Please explain. Please explain.
Why was please the third explain. Attempt, like, third is usually the charm. That one he just turned into a man.
Yeah, please go to a song.
I don't know. No. Look, some people have texted in saying Shaquille O'Neal, Roscoe, wrong, sorry. Jar Jar Binks, Pope Benny Wrecked, love the name. That's actually not right.
It was ridiculous, though. You get yourself a slice.
Cookie Monster, Dennis, no. Clive Palmer, somebody said.
Give him the slice. Give that man the slice.
They're not correct. I love these. I keep them coming in, but they're actually not correct. We do have a couple of correct ones here, I will say that, but I don't want to give the answer away too soon.
Can you give a quick recap of what the impression is for anyone just tuned in?
And quickly go into a song.
Ah, yeah, okay.
This has turned into one of those late night quiz shows where the answer is glaringly obvious and they just don't tell you, so more people keep bringing up.
I think that one got worse. It sounded more like Chris Rock, that one.
Okay.
Oh, my hair. Yeah.
All right.
Let's go into a song.
This is
Christ's
the song, Riddles of the Sphinx. It's by Vinyl Williams from his upcoming album called Brunei. You're with Tom Montedudo and the Crocodile Crew. Coming up, actually, we've got what's a band that deserves more hate than Nickelback? So please text in. But here's the song. See you soon. G'day everybody, you've got it tuned to FBI Radio 94.5 FM. That was the song Riddles of the Sphinx by your boy Vinyl Williams from his upcoming album Brunei, the spelling there, Brunei, with Jordan Shanks, Tom Montefiore and Robbie Armfield. The number to text in, 0409-945-945. The question, well, what band deserves more hate than Nickelback? Jordan, you've got a very particular answer to this question, don't you?
I think as part of this new segment that we're going to start introducing through the coming months and years...
It's called Say What You Will.
But... We're working on the but.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's going to be or not.
So it's kind of...
a work in progress.
Yeah, so do you want to explain it?
So, something that really gets my goat is how Nickelback is just universally known as the most hated band on the planet. Come on.
Yeah,
do they really deserve that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's just, yeah, like, I think they get way too much bad press.
And no one has an answer, right? It's kind of like how everybody always says, it's like Robbie's parents just going like, oh, well, just, you know, Labour Party. Everyone knows that they're just bad at spending. And he's just like, well, no, well, like, have you got any evidence for that at all? It's the same with, like, Nickelback, right? They're always just like, it's just terrible.
Hey. Talk about this stuff off air, right?
Say what you will.
Honestly, say what you will. We're on air. Okay. Talk about Nickelback.
Robbie shares one thing with lads. And if you mess with his mum.
I reckon Nickelback is okay. You know, they're all right. I mean, they didn't deserve to be pelted with rocks. You know, I remember at one concert, they were pelted with rocks.
Were they?
They were They were. And he goes...
Why would you... So people, like, hate them that much that they're willing to spend $100 to hurt this guy.
And they it was in the middle of a song, and they stop, and he said, if one more person throws a rock, we're out of here. And somebody threw a rock, and they left.
Oh, my God.
And so justified, right? That is so justified.
That's like... Was there a comic pause of, say, 5 seconds of nobody throwing a rock, and then someone does it?
That's it.
All right. Right.
It's like Lisa Mitchell with Coin Laundry. It's like she was came sixth in Australian Idol like years ago, and I was at a big day out seeing Lisa Mitchell perform her biggest song, Coin Laundry. And during it, everyone throws coins at her, and then she like hates it, and she's like, no more coins. And like stopped the whole thing, got like really mad. I think she may have...
Oh, she's just a prima donna, though. Nickelback has a serious gripe. They're getting stoned to death, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, rocks are much worse.
On stage.
Yeah.
And he has a Jesus haircut as well. Maybe he is the second coming of Jesus having all over again.
Yeah, like, I just don't get it. Like, Spider-Man, the theme song for Spider-Man, the original one, was Nickelback's hero. And it was like... I can't remember how to
say it. Yeah, that was a great one as well, but I'll give you a little snippet here.
They're not bad, they're just safe. Let's be honest about this. They're just a safe band.
I'll give you a little... a taste now of... Like, just a classic groover, you know?
Yeah, like, they're fine, right? They're not, like, awful bands.
Guys, can I just say, I love knowing that we're on FBI and they hate this.
Do they?
They like, we're always playing these the lowest music.
But, all right, but at least it's music-related.
It is a debate.
So
it's a fervid debate.
Say what you will about Nickelback, but...
They're not that bad, is what we're saying. It's just like, lay off them. There's people more deserving of your hate than them. And we've got some ideas that we're chucking out. And then we're going to go to a song and we'll come back with a couple of your guys' suggestions. So text in. Can we stop? It's old as well. It's naff. Yeah. It's so done.
We're trying to introduce new ones, basically. What's something that should replace Nickelback's hate?
Jordan, what's yours?
You've got it queued up, I'm hoping.
I do. Do you want me to just do it and then I can explain it?
It's probably a better way to go.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That was Pink with You and Your Hand.
Yeah, completely
without
agree.
You and Your Hand being played.
Why does she get no bad press? Pink seems to be the worst of the worst, but no one cares about Pink.
See, why is she not deserving of as much hate as Nickelback? She's got, like, the guys from Nickelback, every time I've ever seen them, they just seem like Hillsong guys, you know? Like, it's very hard to hate those people when you're talking to them. They're extremely nice.
Yeah.
Pink is not. And she looks like she smells.
All right, let's do my one, Robbie.
Okay.
So, mine's a similar... I think this might be a bit more controversial, maybe, but I feel like they deserve it.
Okay.
Green Day.
Green Day. Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
I reckon
Tom,
they...
Tom,
I'd like to get on this bandwagon because I'm really pumping to...
Come on.
I'm in that mob mode of just what anyone says.
The old windmill.
I really want to go to the old windmill and get some cider, but no cider for you, Tom. You've had enough.
Come on, as if Green Day isn't there yet. Like, who still respects Green Day?
I think there are a lot of people that do dislike Green Day, but I do feel as if, like, Pink just gets off scot-free, especially in Australia. It seems like just people... I don't understand what she is, what that combination... What a music... I don't get it. I don't get
Australians
it at all.
Why is it only Australia and Pepsi that like Pink?
Yeah.
She's always gone platinum here.
Yeah.
And in America, she's lucky to get silver.
Yeah. It's like the Madden brothers. It's like, who likes these people? Anyway. Robbie, you go on.
Okay.
What's yours?
All right.
Guys, also, can you please text in? Because I'm guessing that, like, if you know someone from the Sunny Coast, I bet they like Pink. So, just disprove me. If you've got anyone that you know from the Sunny Coast who does not like Pink, text in, because I'll either like Pink or Green Day. I'm calling it now. Robbie.
Well, look, somebody's texting and saying, Pink is great. I can stand for Nickelback apologists, but there is absolutely no room here, sir, for your institutionalized sexism. It's not sexist. We're talking about...
What are you talking about?
It's definitely a friend of ours. All right.
We're talking about other... Anyway, look, this is the 1975 with...
We
What's that?
Oh, just insipid garbage, is what it
is. And it's rubbish.
It's absolute rubbish.
Okay, so and I've never heard that song in my life. So what you want is a band that is not that well known to become as well known as Nickelback, just so everyone can hate them as much as Nickelback.
They're actually quite well.
Who
known.
Is it?
Who is it?
The 1975. They're quite well known.
Oh,
it's not really Pink or Green Day, though.
Yeah,
is
I haven't really heard of it. They're not. They're probably not as big as those. But like, I feel like someone needs to say something. I feel like there is some sort of, you know,
love
people
for them,
are people that don't like them. But I just would like to add to that fray by saying, you know, look, they speak for themselves. I mean, you listen to their music, it's awful. But also the album title is "I Like It When You Sleep, For You Are So Beautiful Yet So Unaware of It." In the trash, please.
Yeah.
Can we just direct all the hate?
I love how we're inciting a mob.
Yeah, I want to incite the mob towards hating the 1975 instead of Nickelback. The Nickelback do grooving stuff. They've done Spider-Man, for Christ's sake.
Yeah,
the 1975 are just...
And they had an inspirational song. Who was the last person on Top 40 to bring something apart from being in the club or like being really confused at what my boyfriend's currently doing?
Yeah.
Someone needs to say something.
Yeah. Look what at was this that photograph.
Song? Yeah, there was "Look at This Photograph," but there was also "If Today Was Your Last Day." Great. Make people think about that, you know?
Yeah.
Life's short. That's what Nickelback's message was to the world, and you spat on them.
Yeah.
You stoned them.
You threw stones at them.
That's for awful. Shame.
I've got a few texts here. One saying Tame Impala. Okay, you can get out. Never text this station again, okay?
Tay-Tay, don't play that way.
Delta. Yep, fair enough.
So fair, that is so fair.
Tom and I, avid haters of Delta Goodrum. Robbie, I guess the mob, really.
Alright, so she just had her 10th anniversary of her album Behind Closed Eyes. Like, what was her album? Her big song.
Well, why is that even a celebration? You're not Madonna, Delta.
They had a television special for her anniversary of her album.
It's like... It's very Channel 9 to do that.
She is...
awful. LMFAO. Here we go. "I'm from the Sydney coast and I think Pink is absolute trash. Worst singer in the world, your boy Davey Z." I don't know about... I think she's actually quite a professional singer. Like, she's got... Like, nobody can deny her singing ability. We're just saying, like... I mean, she just... Her songs are not...
Yeah, and her as an entity just sucked.
Okay. So, welcome to the mob, Davey Z.
Good on you, Davey Z.
Okay. Shall we go to a song now? Okay. This is one actually by a fantastic band. They're called Tame Impala. The name of the track is Beverly Laurel. It's a bonus track from their album from 2012 called Lonerism. You're with Tom Monty Dudu and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5.
Are we allowed to play this?
Yes. So hello there. You're with Jordan Shanks, Tom DeFiore, and Robbie Armfield on FBR Radio 94.5 FM. We started there with the song Beverly Laurel from Tame Impala's album.
But Lonerism. We didn't end with that, and that's why Robbie's so flustered now. truly scary.
Somebody from the from the office there just waltzed in without saying a word and switched it over. We are not allowed to play.
Gave Tom specifically a dirty, even though he has no control over the buttons whatsoever.
Enough
glared at him.
Yeah.
Walked out. For some reason, Tom gets the brunt of it.
Yeah, but okay. Anyway, so we had some texts in relation to the bad bands. People saying dissing Green Day, Tom. Thanks, 2006.
Whatever. And also a very 2006 phrase, whatever.
Another one here. I'm from the Sydney coast. Pink was my first ever concert. Mum forcibly took me to stop me playing Rome Total War. I'll admit I had a good toe tap, but when the pseudo-emotional ribbon twirling from the ceiling started, I put my foot down. And that's from Baba Ganoush. Thanks for getting in touch.
Excellent text.
Oh, Baba Ganoush, I'm so sorry that I just completely defamed the good name of the Sydney coast.
Yeah.
So many people typing it just being like, what are you talking about? I hate Pink.
Yeah, eat your hat.
But Baba Ganoush, you really took the cake. Like, God, that was delicious.
Another one here. Pink is bad, but Eminem takes the ass cake.
Which you would disagree with heavily, right, Jordan? Me too. I love Eminem.
Does anyone agree with that guy? We're not going to call into your text, but just think about that yourselves. And whoever wrote in that text, you think on that as well.
I bet a lot of people would agree with it. All right.
Sure. Anyway, so scary music that we were just mentioning there. You know, scary trends in music. Tom, you saw a scary movie recently?
I did. I saw The Conjuring 2. Oh, wait.
Good segue.
It was brilliant, Robbie.
Okay, it would have been a good segue.
You definitely deserve a high five for that.
But the way you fell short was we
didn't
weren't
deserve
actually,
to. That was greedy.
We weren't actually going to do this segment. We were just going to do Jordan's business pitch.
Well, we can do it. Let's just do it really quickly. Okay, you saw Conjuring 2. All right, scary movie, right?
I've realized I'm terrible with scary movies. I've been watching scary movies all my life. Turns out I can't handle them. I just like will jump at like everything. And I think I did something like, so yesterday I was seeing it with two friends, and at a scary moment in, so it's a very scary film, someone died in it. Everyone's heard this. Someone had a heart attack
spoiler.
Watching it. Not in the film, but yeah. Someone died in the movie. It's really scary. Yeah, and like, so my way of jumping, I like couldn't help it, but I'd go like, whoa, and then like clap. So I'd go like, ah.
All right, let me. Should we do it now? Should we do it now? I'll scare you. I'll go.
Ah!
All right, one more.
Why is there a pause between the scream? And
I
the
don't
clap?
Know. It was so unforced. But like, who claps when they're scared?
Oh, how's it?
Ah!
I just shot a rubber
band. It works on command. Wow.
I mean, it's just like throwing it at a doctor. Are you just flicking us with elastic band?
I just want to see how you're scared. Yeah, okay. So
it was like quite a... Yeah, so anyway, I was wanting... We would have seen if people... How do you react in scary movies?
Maybe we'll save that for next week.
So, Jordan, your business.
Probably not. Yeah. Oh, God. Now we've just... like, this bad part of the... like the broadcast where we just have to like rush everything, like all these good ideas. Okay, so pretty much, I was at my girlfriend's bakery the other day helping her cut carrots because they're short of staff, right?
Yep.
So much waste. Any of those Vietnamese places that have the little Vietnamese rolls, right? So much of that salad just goes into the trash. Surely somebody should go to those places and say, look, I'm a worm farmer. Give me all your produce. I'll sell this compost to the markets. I mean, it's risk-free.
Okay.
It is nothing. It costs you nothing to start this business up. And you can breed worms, sell them at markets, and their compost as well. You've got two products for the price of nothing.
So,
that's what you call in business, a win.
So, you sell worms.
And compost. And their shit.
Right.
Yes.
Well, there's no costs involved, right?
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no overheads to this. And it's all up because I think it's like 19% of carbon emissions from the waste disposal units around the country all come from vegetable produce. And they should be going into worms.
Yeah. Was it one of those time for value things? Like, how much time would it take you to make... Surely you can't sell worms for very much.
Look, as I was saying this to you off air, Tom, I don't want to start this. Yeah. I want nothing to do with this. I'm just giving you, the listeners, like a way to make $1 million.
Yeah.
This should have been the segment at the beginning. It should have been called, do you like money?
Yeah. We're giving bad people good ideas.
Yeah, if you're listening to community radio from 12 to 1, you can't be doing anything good at the moment. You need help.
So
we're giving it to you.
Yeah, here's a great business model for you to try and...
Here's a hand out of that dark, dark pit of a hole you call your life. Yeah. You know, get on the worms.
And now the tax rate's going to go down to 27%. So you can really maximise your profits in your worm business.
Good stuff. So we've got a text here from Dave from Bondi. He says, I blur my vision in scary movies, so my girlfriend thinks I'm tough.
Oh, that is clever.
That is clever. I'm sorry. I'm
very bad for your eyes. So cosmically, really dumb.
Yeah,
I'd say. But I'd really suggest that you talk to an optometrist about that.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool.
It's a cool trick.
It's like if you could block your ears.
Yes, or like the guy in Guinness Book of Records that used to be able to shoot milk out of his nose. Cool trick, but like maybe not do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now on to the winner. The Who Am I game. Okay, now the prize here, remember, is a bit of chocolate slice from my gran. She's going to come in next week and hand deliver it. There were a few correct answers, so thanks so much for getting involved. But the one that I will be awarding it to is Henry Hotcakes with his answer, Scooby Doo.
Oh.
Okay. How did you guess it?
So it was Scooby-Doo.
It was Scooby-Doo. And there's a Scooby-Doo ride at Movie World in the Gold Coast, which is what I went on, and I'm never going on it again. It's very scary.
Can you do the impression one more time?
Oh, I'm not a monkey, but it's...
Rest assured, I don't think Henry Hotcakes is either. I would not be surprised if that is his legal last name. And it just so happens that Robbie's like, ridiculous name, I love it.
Yeah, excellent name.
So Henry Hotcakes, if you could just email us on friendlygeordies@fbiradio.com.au. I think that's it. Oh, I don't know. But I would love you to come into the studio next week at midday so my grand can give you those slices if you'd like.
You earned it.
You definitely earned it. So now, we've got to go. So
that's the end.
That's the end.
That's it. Wow.
I know.
The most saucy segment I think we've ever done on this radio show has to wait until next week.
Oh, no, let's do that
quickly.
That's
what I call a sizzle. I don't know if we can.
Oh, we don't have time.
All right.
That is a sizzle. That's a big sizzle.
Oh, can we do it? Can we do it? And then I'll just turn the music on if it's too bad.
Okay.
All right, please.
Okay, Robbie, this segment is called... Can we really be talking about this?
Oh, dear.
Now, Robbie, I want you to open up what's in this box. Are you able to play Price is Right music or we don't have time for that?
I can't because my computer's...
All right. What do you reckon? So he's got a box. Yeah. He's handed a box to Robbie.
Long black box.
I reckon it's a wand.
Okay, open it up. See if you can describe to everybody listening what's inside that box.
Tom, do you just want to open it?
Yeah, it's like a wand's box. Okay.
Ah, so what is that? Oh, okay.
All right, let's...
It's a wand of sorts. It's a wand of sorts. Okay, now you've been listening to Tom Montedudo with the Crocodile Crew. Thanks to Jordan Shanks, Tom Montefiore, and I've been Robbie Armfield. And now what you're going to hear is the playlist with your boy, Stephen Goodhue. He's got all the tracks, and he's got them all lined up good and ready. Right now, though, you're going to hear the song Back Home.
Put it back in the box.
Back Home by Caribou from his most recent album, called Our Love. See you later, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
I can't believe that.